Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg this morning. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here, and he's brought a couple of patients, and we're gonna meet them in just a second. Morning, Dr. Vaughn. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you again for having me.
This is we generally will talk. You and a lot of doctors will talk about some of the current things going on. This will be an interesting show. Just that we're gonna hear from patients today, and all the things that you go through.
I think it's great to hear it from the viewpoint of a patient experience through HOFE. We value our practice. It's all geared towards the patient experience and how they go through their journey with cancer. And so it's good to get it. Good to hear from their viewpoint and what has gone well or maybe not so well. And just they're such warriors to be here and go through the experience. And we greatly appreciate it, everything they've done. And so I think it's, we always talk about from our own providers or stuff in the office, but it's good to hear from their point of view, I think, sometimes.
It is, just because it's hard for the patient to hear you have cancer, but it has to be hard for the doctor to say, yeah, you've got it, and for you to really be the one that confirms it.
Yeah, and I think it's that initial visit, I think there's a lot that goes on. Of course, the anxiety of having a diagnosis and just just not knowing what to expect as you're told. I think there's an immediate relationship built with the oncologist and the patient. I think that's what kind of drove me actually into oncology, was my just experience when I was an intern, and just the sort of that relationship is special, and that rapport, hopefully that trust you build with the first visit. And part of it is just together, the anxiety of not knowing what to expect, and having that that trust and confidence, saying I'm going to be here with you through this ride and take every step together.
But, and that's an interesting, because that does happen. I mean, that happened with you and me. I was never so scared than that day, just waiting to not know. I knew I had something.
Yeah.
And for you to give that, and it hasn't. And so that's going to be, it'll have been 10 years, that journey this summer.
I think it's scary for both involved. I think you're telling the diagnosis again. It's just the unknown. But I think at least my job, I hope when I first meet patients is that hopefully I can lessen the anxiety. We have experience. We've been through this before with other patients. But hopefully lessen that anxiety, kind of have a plan. I think that's the key. If when patients come in with a diagnosis and just don't know what to expect, just having a plan and saying this is what we're going to do, I think lessens the anxiety, not only the patient, but for the family. Because it really is, that first visit is just so important. The trust and the confidence is all built in that first visit.
We'll meet the couple of the patients with the Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg here this morning. Cindy, welcome to the program. How hard was it for you to hear you have cancer?
It was a shock, of course, and I knew something was wrong, similar to what you said. You kind of know deep down inside when you find those things, the lumps and so forth. I really, really appreciated having the MyChart. I know a lot of people find that anxiety provoking, but the results from my biopsy were posted, and so I was able to go on, and I was like, what does this say? I don't know what this means. You have a lot of vocabulary to look up. So, and I got that information on July the 3rd. And so, looking everything up and reading through, I was able to cry, be angry, all those emotions that you go through, so that when I met with Dr. Nanda on July the 5th, I felt like maybe it was a little better for him because I was a little bit more prepared. So even though he had to tell me and corroborate the diagnosis that the biopsy had revealed, he could work with me more on the plan as opposed to having to also deal with my emotions, which were, you know, as you've already noted, rather extensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because my chart, because I've had totally the opposite. I've looked at it, because one time with you, I was just beyond upset about it, and you came in and said, no, that's not what that means.
Yeah. We have a love-hate relationship with my chart. I think that is, as Cindy was saying, I think that is an interesting perspective. I do find some patients who are able almost, it provides that emotional outlet immediately, like for 24 hours. So when you come in, sometimes patients are more prepared to maybe say, okay, let's talk about what we're going to do about it. They've already had this kind of, like I said, this outlet of emotion. So, but a lot of it is, especially more like radiology reports, you know, sometimes you can get in the weeds of reading stuff that is not really what you know, I look for. For me, it may be something related to a cancer, but the radiology reports may be talking about something else, you know, that's not related to it. So it can go both ways, you know, and you end up having to talk about stuff that's not related to the disease, going through a radiology report sometimes on my chart. But it does help, I think, when patients are more sometimes prepared and you're already going, that's how we're going to attack this, you know. And so so we do have a love-hate relationship. Sometimes it can create a lot of anxiety, a lot of phone calls to the staff.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can work in your favor, like Cindy was saying. I think you have some knowledge. Maybe you've already looked up some stuff, you know, already. So you can already kind of get almost into an educational discussion right off the bat.
Right. I found it helpful. But I know a lot of people don't. Like you say, they kind of flip out when they don't know what's going on. Right. But it's like, we've got Dr. Google now. I can just ask.
Right. See, as a former teacher, I can see that.
Professor Google this question, you know.
So. We have in our schedule, we try to get a, you know, it's always hard to line up exactly. But if we order like a CAT scan, we try to order the CAT scan within, you know, and have an office visit at least within 48, 72 hours after the CAT scan. But sometimes patients get the my chart and they call immediately. Can I rush you to review the results? And you know, that becomes a little challenge for the office. You know,
Mike, your story. What's your story?
My story. I got liver cancer a little bit more 2 years ago now. Interesting story. I flew to Hawaii. Did some work there for the Marines. And on the way back, I thought I had caught. And I mean to say that. Improperly, I thought I had caught like long-term COVID. I had COVID when I was over there, or a very bad case of just not able to sleep. I had shortness of breath, and I kept going to my regular doctor, and we're checking it out. And it wasn't until 3 months later I started losing all that weight that this all evolved, and we found out where I was. It was a bad case of liver cancer, which is always tough on a Marine.
Yeah.
So we did that, and that was back May of 2022, and I immediately met Dr. Medicieri. You know, so we had all the tests done. I went and had seen him, and we had a nice aggressive schedule, which is great, and that's what we want to hear. Look, we're going to attack this aggressively, all right, and everything else is equal. So if I'm attacking this aggressively, you know, the rest of your body is going to take time to adjust it. And it wasn't a platinum-based chemotherapy that I was on that does terrible things to your insides, your magnesium levels. Mm-hmm. So I've always had to fight with that for the past 2 years. I get the ports in. And I think we were talking earlier, one of the most important things I could tell anybody to take away is stay in contact with your nutritionist. There's nutritionists available at Mary Walsh. And during the first couple rounds, she told me, hey, try and take this much protein. Everyone's different. Try to take this much protein, eat these vitamins, do these things. And we worked into it. And since then, the chemotherapy has stopped working. So we changed over to the new immunotherapy, which is Keytruda and a couple other things. Now I take my chemo every day and immunotherapy. And I was having some stomach issues. They call it chemo belly. For me, it took 2 years to come on. But I gave her a call again. She gave me two pieces of paper, and I'm feeling great. Cool. So pull all your resources.
Yep.
My number one thing, you know, ask that doctor everything, write it all down, then see Dr. Google. And the nurses at HOI are great. You know, if it's an infusion or a phlebotomy thing, they're always they can always find out the information that I need to give.
Need to take a quick break here. Good stuff this morning. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here. Mike and Cindy here from their patients with Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. HOAFredericksburg.com. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back. Yes.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Cancer treatment in the area, Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg this morning. Dr. Chris Vaughn is here, Cindy is here, Mike here. They are patients with Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. Mike, I know in my case, it always helped me just to have Hematology Oncology Associates right here, to have treatment right here. And in my case, I could come to work, go, be treated, come back. You know, I'm dealing 15, 20 minutes. To have everything right here was a huge thing, I know, in my own treatment.
Right. It was, so that's kind of tough for, my first treatment was the cisplatin and a few other drugs. And that took up to 6 hours on Thursday for a little bit more than a year and a half. And then my numbers started creeping back up again. Nothing to panic about. Just we moved over to another treatment. And so that's worked out well. The immunotherapy has worked out well. It's a lot smaller doses of chemo, but it's daily.
Okay.
So yeah, if I didn't have to go get my infusion every week, every 3 weeks, for the immunotherapy, I could do everything right here.
And it's just, Cindy, with you, just having everything right here, so close, is as far as treatment makes treatment a lot as hard as it is, easier.
Yeah, I think that was one thing that really struck me was I don't have to drive all the way to Charlottesville or Richmond or Northern Virginia to get help. It's right here. And everybody is just amazing at HOFE. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. They're so caring and kind, knowledgeable, of course. I mean, you want smart people to take care of you. But yeah, it's an amazing place.
And Dr. Vaughn, for you, I mean, it makes it easier for the patient that you're dealing with patients that aren't fatigued or, you know, having to deal with if you're being treated locally like this without traffic and things.
Yeah, and we're just like Mike and I were just talking about that. It if you're having a rough day, you know, and you're not feeling great, let's say you are having some nausea, let's say you may have thrown up. Well, it's easier to come into our office 5 minutes away, some fluids, some IV, anti-nausea medicines. It's great being able, like Cindy, to have your, you know, we have to follow blood work, you know, and so it's easy to come in and get a blood check once a week, not have to drive to Charlottesville or Richmond to have that done. So it really takes, I think it takes a lot of pressure off patients and families knowing that they can be close to home. And we try to do everything we can to take those extrinsic pressures off and just kind of let you focus on the disease itself and work on that, not have to deal with the pressure of traveling or making arrangements to go somewhere, not feeling great, traveling back an hour and a half away. It just, I always say, you know, it's wonderful to have the ability to take care of this locally. And as we've talked before, Ted, if we do need some help from some tertiary centers, we are always kind of can contact them and manage appropriately. But most of what we do can be done, you know, close to home.
Growth continues. You're in what now? Three locations, one in Stafford, and the other two at Empire Court.
And one next door. Dr. Medicieri is next door. He, I guess, didn't like us.
He moved out of his own place.
We've had some growth, not only, you know, physicians, but some nurse practitioners, physician assistants who've joined to help us out. So as the teams have grown, we've had to get more space. So we have two offices close by Fredericksburg, and then one we talked before in Stafford to help the community up there.
And I was meant to mention it right at the beginning. Happy anniversary! 36 years.
Yes.
Last month.
36 years. Wow. I know it's incredible. When I started, I was one of 11 employees total, and now we're over 130. You know, so it's been an amazing period in HOFE. It's also been wonderful to see us grow, but yet still maintain that sort of mom and pop feel. I think we're still we're built on our relationships with our patients, and we're not we're not a corporation. You know, I think it's all that interaction with the patient, and everything centers around that patient experience.
And to be able to grow and have that, you're able to deal with so many more cancers. Because I just look around the table here, and the three of us had vastly different cancers.
Keeps us on our toes, but that's why we enjoy it. I think that's it's stimulating for us as oncologists to keep up to date with what's going on. I think these two are a great example of some novel therapies that have been landscape changing in the last 5 years. And so, in order to do that, we have to keep abreast of the new developments. But also, we've been able to not only just with the pharmaceutical advances, but also the laboratory testing, you know, being able to find certain genetics or certain mutations that kind of drive cancers. So we've been able to grow in all aspects, you know, and we've been able to do some of these testings in our office, which is great. Some of the laboratory testing we can do in-house. So we've grown a lot of ways.
Yeah. And we want to talk more about the family genetics as we go along this morning. Cindy, as you go, just talk a little bit just about the journey itself, because we talk about the diagnosis and the shock of that, and then there's just kind of the getting into a routine and not feeling well, and a lot of times with the treatment, just you start as the treatment goes on, sometimes you feel worse and worse as it goes on.
I didn't have that experience so much. You know, the chemo was, you know, when they told me chemo, and they, Dr. Nanda and Candace went through what I was might possibly experience. So I was prepared for that and was fine until they told me I was going to lose my hair, which to me was an interesting reaction on my part. You know, that put me into tears. But, you know, you get over that,
yeah,
and you have to maintain your humor. Sometimes when I was in for my infusions, I would bring a little red clown nose and have my Nationals hat on and wear that. And I know the nurses would just about fall out laughing, you know. So you bring a little joy to them and try to steer away from the negativity. Yeah, they're horrible, unpleasant, uncomfortable reactions as you go through. But yeah, I don't know, just got a deal.
Yeah. When my hair started coming out, I was able to, I'm a guy, I was able to deal with it, but as a woman, I'm sure that is different.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, you learn these things about yourself. I had no idea my hair was so important to me until I was watching the clumps come out, and then I realized hair for women particularly, it's such a part of our identity.
Yeah.
So to have that loss was, to me, the hardest thing. And of course, like I said, that was emotional. So the other physical things are just like, oh, I don't like that, but, you know,
It'll help you get better.
Ultimately. Yeah, exactly.
And your hair is growing back.
It is. I've got a little peach fuzz going on there. And people like to come up and touch it and run their hands through it. It's hilarious, you know. And they're like, "Oh, it's so soft." And I have a friend, Sue Henderson, who was like, "I can't wait to see what color it is when it comes in." And she said, "I'm rooting for red and curly," and I was like, oh my gosh, I do not want to look like little orphan Annie. But.
And those are some of the things, Dr. Vaughn, too, that as a doctor, you're more than just a doctor. I mean, you've got a lot of hats as you deal with patients.
Yeah, and as Cindy was saying, I think that's sometimes, you know, the initial visit, the initial few weeks, you're just trying to say, let's get started, and then as you kind of settle in, hair loss, these things that kind of can, like, oh my gosh, this is now real, you know, and you know, I look different, and hair is a good example. Sometimes I go, oh my gosh, this, you know, maybe I'm kind of identifying now, like I'm going to chemotherapy, this is my life's changing for a period of time here. And so it can be a tough situation the first couple of months. But yes, we try to coach through those things. You know, I think you have to keep you stay on task with the main message, which is if we can just kind of put push through, you know, you're going to feel much better in the end. And look at you now, Sydney. So
getting there.
You're a warrior going through it, you know.
with peach fuzz. Mm-hmm. Mike, any difficulties for you?
I have to say this, and I mean it funny, but no, I didn't lose any hair where I don't have any, but I surely grew a nice field of hair on my ears. if that helps you,
that's a guy thing. With you. That's a guy thing.
Yours is going to grow in and look beautiful, and mine is just going to look like an old guy.
So you didn't have the just the kind of, you know, whether it was, you know, hair loss or anything, you just.
No, sir.
Just felt bad.
Always the Italian, you know, the bald on top, little ring around the back. No, I've had that for many years. Runs in the family.
Good. You talked when we started and talked about how you thought you had COVID and kind of, but yes. Once you got that diagnosis, how big of a shock was it for you? Was it hard to just comprehend?
I was shocked. I went back to my normal doctor's visit, which we were kept calling it long COVID. Because no one knew at that time. And then, so the next time I went to go see him, I had dropped like 20 pounds. And that's when you don't need Dr. Google to tell you, you know, hey, I know where this is. And he's like, yes, we're going to send you down for an ultrasound, and then we'll have the doctor call you back. So at that point, we kind of knew. So I had to go get a test, and already knowing, and then Dr. Mancheri called up. It was great. He was aggressive, fit right in with my mindset.
More to come. Got a lot of more things to talk about this morning with Dr. Chris Vaughn. Mike is here. Cindy is here. They are patients with Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, HOA Fredericksburg.com on Empire Court and also in North Stafford. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 830.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial broadcasting station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Chris Vaughn in this morning. Mike and Cindy are also here. They are with the Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. HOA Fredericksburg.com is the website. And I should have known, 36 years. I mean, that's an impressive number when you all of a sudden you look at that.
It is longevity, yeah. It is so. Quite impressive. I've been here now 16 years, so it's I guess that means I'm getting old as well. But it just shows, I think, the dedication. My initial founder, we've talked before, Angus Muir, who founded our practice, but the dedication to kind of make an imprint in the community, and to see it grow, to see what we've been able to offer, and I think the quality of care and patients still come to us, and I think it's appreciative of, I think, the quality we give, but also the patient support and confidence.
Mike, as you go through now your cancer journey, where are you as far as treatment goes, and where are you as far as that?
I don't want to say any words that my doctor did not tell me to say. So I did ask when can we start looking forward, because my AFP, my numbers for the cancer marker in the liver are at a good spot, but he wants to maintain. That doesn't mean I'm on my maintenance, mm-hmm. but that he just wants to continue on until we have to stop. That way we get every last bit of it, and that'll end with a PET. Mm-hmm. scan, God willing, because mm-hmm. insurance companies are no fun at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking at first when we started talking about the anxiety that the my chart creates, it also does create that anxiety of, oh my God, is that my bill?
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. But yeah, so I believe in the last throes of making sure we could squash everything out, and then we could talk about exiting or maintaining the Keytruda until everything is better.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the great thing, Dr. Vaughn, as you work with patients and families. I mean, you really do become part of the family as you make these decisions and talk through, or even insurance questions.
Oh, right.
I mean, insurance questions, those are horrible.
I think Mike just hit it on the head there. Part of it is what we do, and that's what's wonderful about having our practice. We have We have some financial advisors. If we're unable to sometimes get a medication, there's certain resources we can tap into to get the medication mm-hmm. for patients, helping to make sure that everything is authorized on time. There's no out-of-pocket cost, because that is not only just the stress we talk about of maybe driving, not feeling well out of town, but the financial stress that it can put on families is tremendous. And so we try to do our best to just take that off the plate for patients to deal with. But it is a lot. We go through, you know, as far as, you know, this trying to get the appropriate imaging done on time, you know, trying to make sure medications, especially oral medications, can be a little bit more of a challenge, because they have to be authorized in a different sort of pharmacy benefit. So we have a wonderful person or office who helps with our oral medications to make sure stuff's approved, authorized, shows up on time. So there's a lot of logistics that go into it. And I'm so thankful to have the staff we do. And I think not only just the providers, as you guys probably experienced, it's just everyone at Hope and what they do for the patient. Because everything has to work together. You know, if someone's not in sync, it's just not going to work.
No, because the insurance can be a huge problem.
Yeah, they're not friendly a lot of times. So we gotta push through. You know, I'm on the phone at least once a week, you know, fighting for my patients to get a certain scan or get a certain drug. Or, you know, say this is what standard of care is. Yes, these new novel agents are expensive, but they work, and you just got to kind of fight for it.
Cindy, as you've gone through, any surprises? You know, and whether it's been in insurance or how you felt or just anything, any kind of surprises as you've gone along?
Well, yes, of course, there are always surprises. I can't really pinpoint just one thing. I think, you know, I'm on maintenance medication now, as Dr. Vaughn mentioned, and to me, the cost of that medication, when I learned what that was, that was just mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, a bit unconscionable to be charging those prices. I don't know what people do who don't have that kind of insurance or financial support, which I have found with HOLF. I mean, they've really helped me a lot with that. Helping to apply for grants and things like that to get things covered. So I think that's the biggest, you know, how much the shock of how much everything costs to have the surgery, to do the treatments and so forth and so on. And they've just been wonderful with helping with that. But it makes me feel badly for people who can't afford those things.
You do wonder. Yeah.
I do wonder a great deal. Yeah. Yeah, it's concerning.
What happens? But I know at different times when it looked bleak in my own case about, you know, getting approval for something. And you would always say, Dr. Vaughn, just, you know, hang tight. Let me talk to, you know, I know how to talk to them. There's a certain way you've got to talk to these people.
Through 16 years, I guess you know what to say at the right time. I think you just, we find ways. To find the medication, to find this, as Cindy was saying, there's certain grants, you know, you can find financial assistance. We've figured it out where to push certain buttons. But it is, I think it is a real factor, I think, as you guys were talking about, just the, oh my gosh, okay, I have this, oh, I got cancer, I do this, and all of a sudden, oh wait, the realism of what is the cost of this? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a huge stressor for patients and families. And what we hope is that never ends up being a part of the decision whether to do something or not. And that's our job. Say we're gonna make this work somehow financially, you know, because I hate when it becomes, oh, that's a factor why I can't do something. We try our best to hopefully push that aside.
You all have been wonderful with that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I'd like to bring up one more thing. So just recently, because of my chemo belly, I was put on Creon. It's mm-hmm. It helps you digest food. It's very, very, very expensive, and the insurance doesn't cover it at all. Before I went ahead and signed up for some financial assistance, I asked your pharmacist, Zach, hey, do we have any coupons? Mm-hmm. He gave me a coupon where this $100 medicine cost $5.
Really?
Yes. So always ask, you know, the people mm-hmm. who get to see the pharmacy people walk through, ask for a coupon and then try to do it the hard way where you gotta do financials. So just wanna make sure you add that to your repertoire. Yeah. Your team is awesome. And if we can't get it done, they get it done by other means. So thank you.
Yeah, we have our own pharmacy dispensary in the office, mainly more driven more towards oncology medicines or supportive medicines for oncology. But we're able, yes, to either get coupons. We're able, what's also wonderful, patients also donate some medicines they've not used and have been opened. So we have sometimes some resources from maybe a month or two supply of some medications, particularly if we're wanting to start something quickly. And we go, well, hey, we got a month supply until we get the authorization. Let's start this now. So we try to tap in everything we can, you know, to get the medicine available.
Yes.
Dr. Vaughn, you mentioned a few minutes ago, we were talking about family genetics and those kinds of things. And as a person goes into treatment, I mean, how important is family history? If I've got a family history and I know that on whatever kind of cancers might, you know, have been in my family in the past, do I need to be more vigilant and maybe get those kind of tests and keep that in mind?
It is so much more important now, Ted. I think we always want to get an idea from a family history, more to help maybe help the other family members screen appropriately at an earlier, you know, age if there's kind of a high risk. You see in a family history of breast cancer, prostate cancer. But now it's imperative because certain genetics, and I say germline means something passed on from a parent. There's certain therapies that we use now. So not only can it give you some information about, you know, screening for other family members, but now it's important because it actually offers certain therapies. So when I think of like cancer, I always tell patients, you know, let's just take lung cancer, for instance. Mm-hmm. We don't just kind of treat all lung cancer the same. They're different sections of lung cancer. And a lot of that's based on the genetics of the lung cancer. So it helps us select the best therapy for patients based on what the genetics are. Those could be genetics brought down from kind of family history, as I was mentioning, like a germline mutation, or sometimes it could be just genetics of the cancer itself, something's going on with the cancer, a mutation. So it is imperative now for us to do a good family history. We're able now, and insurance companies have gotten a lot better about this. I don't know if from experience for you guys, but it used to cost a lot of money to get genetic testing done. Mm-hmm. Now it's a much more streamlined, not as costly, just because it is now imperative for us to treat patients appropriately having the genetics. So it's easier to do now because we don't get much fuss back. This is one thing where I have not had as much fuss back from the insurance companies, but we run a lot of genetic tests through the office. Jen Sullivan helps kind of run that part of the office, and so she's constantly on the phone with some of these companies about the results. And we want the results turned around pretty quickly for us, too, as we need to make these decisions.
Interesting. So if you do have a family history, be aware of that.
Oh, be aware of it. And hopefully we do a good job at our first visit. That's part of the first visit, is try to get that information out, because I think we can – if we get a kind of a family history, we're already kind of thinking, oh, this may be something we have this pill for, you know.
And a lot of times doctors have, I've talked to doctors who encourage family members to talk about these kinds of things, because you might have grandparents or even your parents may not mm-hmm. tell you about things. And if I don't know, I can't tell you.
Right. Exactly. I mean, this could help your brother or sister, you know, your children, as far as their screening at age, you know, 30. Maybe a little earlier than we would do mammograms or certain things or colonoscopies. But if you have a strong family history, the best way to cure the cancer is to catch it very, very early. So it helps the entire family. And that's why it's important, I think, when we meet with patients. It's a lot of times it's not only the patients, families are there, either on the phone with us or – so it's an informative session.
You always told – I mean, I always had – my wife was always with me in taking notes, and you always said that was good. Did you have family members with you that could take notes, Cindy, as you went through, especially the early days?
Yeah, Matt would go with me, and he kept notes. And then our daughter came once, too, and they both asked better questions than I could, because you're absorbing the information. So it's, I think it's important to have somebody there with you that's, I don't want to say not invested, that's not the correct term, but who's more focused on other things.
On what they're saying, yeah, because I was the same way. You would be three sentences down the road, and I'm still focusing on what on what you said. How about you, Mike?
Mine's very unique. Mine's here at the stomach, so I don't think there's a you can't pass it down. I was looking for a smart word. I'm sorry, I don't have it, but I can't really pass it down. My mother had the breast cancer. She's still alive. My dad died of lung cancer, but that's from smoking. So I don't have anything in front of me that I know of. And mine is going to be kind of like the Camp Lejeune thing, I would imagine, where there's going to be some dirty base that I was on doing things. It's going to be environmental if we find it.
I think most cancers are end up being either something we experience through the environment, or just something as, unfortunately, as we age, something in our body just gets turned on the wrong way. That's most of the time what is kind of generates cancer growth. But for some, there can be an inherent genetic thing passed down, and it's important because that's, we kind of treat that a little differently. You don't want to miss the opportunity to selectively treat that.
I may have misspoke. I did my genetic testing, even though we said it might not help anybody. Well, it might not help me. It might help my grandkids.
Even though it's not maybe a strong family history, we still check it just in case. So we always, and that's what's helped. I think insurance companies now are much more open, even if it's not a, we used to have to go through this kind of just really informative family tree to get it approved. But now, because there's so much therapeutics on if you have it, that it's almost negligent not to check it now. Mm-hmm. And so we do check almost everyone. Likelihood is most of the time it's not going to be positive. But it's something, it's information. We always want the data.
You know. Did you have any family history that this just come out of the blue for you?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it for myself. I have found through some genealogy that I have a grandmother who had some type of cancer. We have no idea what it was.
Yeah.
My sister has had, lady bit cancer as well, and that was highly unusual. I mean, most doctors haven't even heard of the term. It was just such a weird cancer. And then I have a brother who has had colon cancer. So it's interesting to me that the three youngest of us, there are five of us, the three youngest of us, and again, going back to, because I come from a military family as well, where we lived, what impact that, why just the three of us, why are the two older ones just fine, and the three of us have all these weirdness going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting in an odd way, you know.
And I guess as a doctor, you look at all that.
We do. I mean, especially, here where we are, we practice just having a lot of military professionals, who've been on certain bases, and we've experienced the Camp Lejeune thing, and I have a number of patients who've been there during that timeline. So, yeah, environmental agents definitely are high risk for cancer.
HOAFredericksburg.com, the website for Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. Dr. Chris Vaughn here, Mike and Cindy here this morning. One final break, and we'll conclude this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg, our focus this morning with Dr. Chris Vaughn is here. Mike and Cindy are both patients, and I'm a former patient with the Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. I guess, Dr. Vaughn, if you've got the great stuff, we've had just great stuff hearing from patients this morning. And if something doesn't feel right, make an appointment. Come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I tell patients, and I your body better than anyone else. So if something is not feeling right, please get checked out. And that helps me also when patients are on treatment. If I always ask, well, how did you feel when you first got diagnosed? Because I saw someone yesterday and they're about a couple months into treatment. And, you know, it's tough. You're on chemo and, you know, that obviously may not make you feel well. But the symptom that prompted them to come in is completely gone. And that's always a good thing, you know. So just, you know, just be aware of changes in your body. And if they're not getting better, please either go to your general practitioner. Hopefully they're clued in. And if they're worried about anything that's oncologic, please have them refer to us.
And I would say, too, you know, particularly as a woman, and I knew something was wrong probably 8 years ago, you just really have to strongly advocate for yourself. Mm. I think there's a definite need for an OBGYN oncologist here in Fredericksburg, and that was not available to me. Otherwise, I think if somebody had put all the pieces together for me, my treatment might have happened sooner, and I wouldn't be at this particular point in my life. So I agree, you know, just not only communicate with your medical practitioners, but you need to strongly advocate and just say, no, something's not wrong. And I think you need to do this. And, you know,
you hear that a lot. Yeah. And to hear it from somebody like you who's gone through this and can look back and say, this should have happened, is powerful.
And, well, if it helps somebody, you know, it's a good story to share, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's our goal here this morning, is hopefully to help more people.
Don't put it off. And that's, and Mike, it sounds in your case like you knew, you'd been told it was one thing, right. But, you know, you took action as soon as you could.
We took action, yeah. As soon as we see that marker that, you know, Dr. Google shows you, you're going to start losing a bunch of weight. And I knew it was time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just we're, Dr. Vaughn, fortunate to have a hematology oncology associates of Fredericksburg here. That was what, but that's, I've always just maintained that. I was so glad that I had never heard of you, and I wished I hadn't, but I'm glad I'm glad you were here.
Yeah, make the joke. People would rather see us more as friends than professionally, but sometimes, you know. But our job is, again, it's sometimes there are different expectations with each patient and each treatment, but is to get you through what we can and to offer, you know, offer clinical benefit. Hopefully, quality of life is improving with treatment here. I think we have a wonderful practice. You know, we've been able to ingrain ourselves in the community, and patients, as I always say, patients live and thrive during the diagnosis and treatment. We don't want the cancer to take, just encompass them. We live, and we still live, and we still do things. And yes, we're getting treated for cancer, but we're still thriving with our family and working and doing everything we can through it.
I think that's one thing that had been said to me, you know, you can't stop living. You still need to live your life. Go take that trip that you had planned. We'll work with you. And that was really, you know, eye-opening and very helpful.
Yeah. I do like we're getting into like sort of spring and summer, so it's an enjoyment for me to try to arrange treatment schedules around vacations patients have planned. So it's I love it. Yeah, I mean, I'll say, well, yeah, wait, we can push this off a week so you can go to the beach, you know, with your family. I mean, that's what I want to do. I want patients to live, be with family, and enjoy their time.
Well, you both look great, and thank you for coming in and sharing your story. Been good stuff. Cindy, great to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And Mike, great to have you in here too.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Vaughn, we'll see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted, as always.
HOAFredericksburg.com for Hematology Oncology Associates of Fredericksburg. Thanks for listening
to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.